Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome into the Devil's Cage. I'm Blaine Ferguson, joined by Ryan Bafalukas. Ryan?
What's up? Episode 3.
Episode 3. Yet again, another episode.
I was thinking we should start naming our episodes. So, like, this could be Episode 3, Revenge of Rashad.
Sith. Yeah, I like that. How the UFC sometimes are, like, 146 heavyweights or something like that, you know?
Or, like, Retribution or...
Yeah, or Redemption or something like that, yeah. So, this is... Episode 3, Rashad's Revenge. I like it. I like the initiative you're taking, Ryan.
You know what? Progressive thinking. That's what gets it done in this world.
Definitely progressive thinking.
We're very progressive on the Devil's Cage.
All two of us.
We made a Twitter.
We do have a Twitter.
Blaine, can you please give them the Twitter?
At the Devil's Cage, no apostrophe. So at the Devil's Cage on Twitter.
We wanted to get that out early just in case people stop listening after the first 2 minutes. You have the Twitter handle.
Now you have it. There's no excuse not to follow us on Twitter. Also, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search in the iTunes store, The Devil's Cage.
With an apostrophe.
With an apostrophe. And go to the podcast where it will prompt you to subscribe to our show. Anyways, we're going to kick this show off, starting with an opening segment. We're going to start calling the opening round.
Dun, 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 the opening round.
And Ryan, can you tell listeners what did the opening round entail?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the opening round is pretty much going to be a news and notes kind of format. We're going to have fight announcements, fight results, and just any big news that came across the waiver wire.
Headlines. Headlines in the UFC and mixed martial arts world.
And mixed martial arts, of course. We're not just a UFC show. We'll be talking Bellator.
Yeah, we'll be talking Bellator. We'll be talking...
Strikeforce, if they're ever relevant ever again. Probably not.
Not really.
Probably not.
We just talked about Strikeforce last week. We talked about Thompson and Melendez, didn't we?
Yeah, how much of a mismatch that was.
Melendez is going to whoop his ass.
Yeah. All right, so we'll start the opening round now. We're going to give you some recaps. Busy weekend. For mixed martial arts fans,
definitely
began on Friday night. Bellator 65 from Atlantic City at the Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City, New Jersey. We have a new Bellator bantamweight champion. It is Eduardo Dantes. He takes the Bellator bantamweight belt from Zach Makovsky. He defeats Makovsky via arm triangle and gets the submission and is the new Bellator bantamweight champion. Dantes is 14-2 and 4-0 in Bellator, and his promoter Bjorn Rebney was glowing just talking about him after the fight, saying, quote, "You're looking at one of the best bantamweights in the world. Absolutely a spectacular performance from this young man tonight." And so, very impressive performance.
Sounds like
from it. Eduardo Dantes taking the belt from Zach Makovsky, who hadn't lost in 4 years, and it was previously undefeated in Bellator. So pretty big deal for Eduardo Dantes. A lot of people think if he can master English, he will be on his way to becoming the next superstar and kind of the next rising name that Bellator will promote.
My mic is broken, I think. Well, you keep on continuing.
That's a shame. I'm going to try to fill some airtime. Daniel Strauss advances to the Bellator featherweight tournament final. He defeats Mike Corey by unanimous decision with scores of 30-27 and 29-28 twice. So Daniel Strauss,
very impressive fighter. I've watched him fight.
And he advances to face Marlon Sandro.
I'm pretty sure I just broke this mic. No, continue.
All right.
Continue.
I'm kind of in awe right now watching you try to fix the mic, but we're going to go on.
Don't mind me.
Nothing can get us down on the devil's cage.
Broken mic, don't curve.
Broken mic. I'll wonder
for
if we lose my flip-flop.
For listeners who are wondering what on the mic broke, a little screw on the left of the mic that controls the tilt of the mic has just come off.
Should we give play-by-play right now? So Blaine right now is trying to put some sort of cap onto the screw.
What's funny is that the Blaze news director is in the studio right across from us, oblivious to what is going on in the studio.
Blaine is now screwing on the cap.
Lefty
loosey and righty tighty, as we all know.
It's not on still.
It's not going on. You can hear the squeaking in the background.
Yeah, it's just going on. I guess I'm going to hold the mic for the rest of the show. Awesome.
All right. We're going to improv here. And so
I'm going to tell if Nick asks, like, if Nick are... the news director for the Blaze,
which is what studio we're in right now.
Yeah, if he comes over here, he's like, "Hey, what's going on?" I'm gonna be like, this is like this before I came."
All right. Anyway, back to the mixed martial arts. Back to the opening round. What happened was, it's like in the opening round when a fighter takes like a shot to the groin. They give him 5 minutes. Right now, we had our 5 minutes.
I have been kicked in the groin metaphorically,
and we're gonna get back to it. So Herb Dean is right now saying, "Fight." We're getting back into it. Blaine, you are still meddling with the mic.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting all the grease all over me. Shit.
I think, can you, the first swear word on the devil's cage?
Has been prompted
by... I'm surprised it hasn't
a broken
come sooner.
Mic. Oh, wait, hold on, I got
it. Wait a second, we got it.
No, it's still not...
No,
nope,
we don't
still
have
not
it.
Yeah, it's still... Every time it tries to
I
go down,
I feel bad
it
for Daniel Strauss, because he's being overshadowed by a broken mic right now.
By a broken mic, sorry, Daniel.
Daniel's...
You're an impressive fighter, but this is controlling our show right now.
Yeah, Daniel Strauss landed a left hand that dropped my Corey in the first 30 seconds. Corey survived, and so did Daniel Strauss will face Marlon Sandro in the featherweight tournament
you
final.
You have picked Marlon Sandro, correct?
And you're going...
I'm going Strauss.
You're going the upset. Interesting.
I think Daniel Strauss is going to pull it off. Daniel Strauss is a... physical specimen of a fighter.
A couple other fights from the Bellator main card. Luis Nogueira defeats Alexis Villa via unanimous decision in the Bantamweight tournament opening round. And Marcos Galvao defeats Ed West by unanimous decision in the Bantamweight tournament opening round. So that's Bellator. We'll give you the Ultimate Fighter recap as Team Faber has now won 3 fights in a row. As Team Faber's Joe Proctor
momentum's
defeats,
completely switched.
Yeah, defeats Chris Tickle via unanimous decision by way of a rear naked choke. Round one at the 4:42.
You said unanimous decision by way of a rear naked choke.
Well, I just got kicked in the groin right now.
There you go.
I'm going to take 5. Blaine, you want to?
I can go ahead and take it over for you. I can give some UFC on Fuel TV results if you wish.
Yes, but just, anyway, so Team Faber up 3-2. They make the next pick. It's going to be Team Faber's John Kofer versus Team Cruz's Vic Pichel. So over to Blaine. I'm going to take 5. I'm going to try to get myself back together.
I can't even get this mic.
Don't focus on the mic. Focus on UFC on Fuel TV.
Okay, anyways.
Great card. Blaine,
yeah,
over
great
to you.
Card. We're going to cover the 3 main fights that we discussed on the on last week's show, which was Sayar Bahadurzada. I think, did I get that right? Versus Paulo Thiago.
It's as good as I can.
Sayar, who I thought was going to come in with an impressive debut. Ryan did not think so, just to let you listeners know. Well, Sayar knocked Paulo Thiago out with, it seemed like, one punch 42 seconds into the fight. Dropped Paulo Thiago flat on his face. Ryan, any words?
No.
That's
I
what
think
you, don't.
You said it best yourself.
Yep. And then so Sayar comes in, wins his UFC debut in 42 seconds, very impressively. Brian Stann defeats Alessio Sakara via knockout, 2:26 into the first round.
Brian Stann looked very good.
Yeah, he controlled Sakara in the clinch at first. Dropped a knee on him. Sakara was down on the ground. Brian Stann was just unloading elbows and punches. And then you could tell at one point, Alessio's out.
His eyes rolled to the back of his head.
Yeah, and then his head just drops. And Brian Stann motions to the referee that he's not going to punch him anymore and he needs to come stop the fight, which is a very classy move by Brian Stann.
Very classy move. And, you know, obviously Brian Stann's a very classy human being. He went to the U.S. Naval Academy, graduated from there as a captain in the U.S. Marine Corps. And if you haven't seen, they showed on the Fuel TV pre-fight show, they showed the piece that he... Fuel TV did a piece on him about one of his tours in Iraq, kind of about a mission that he kind of commanded. It was very moving, very good. And I believe the Devil's Cage tweeted the link. yesterday.
Okay, well,
shameless plug.
Yeah, so follow the Devil's Cage, and you can check out this tweet. And then the main event, Alexander Gustafsson defeats Thiago Silva by unanimous decision. Two judges scored it 30-27, giving Gustafsson all three rounds. One judge scored it 29-28. Apparently, Thiago Silva was landing some good power shots.
He did. He landed some shots, but it was Gustafsson pretty much controlled the fight.
Yeah. So not a surprise there. The favorite, Gustafsson, hometown fighter, takes the victory on UFC on Fuel TV 2.
I was a little surprised that he didn't knock out Thiago Silva just because all of Gustafsson's wins in the UFC have come via stoppage. I was a little surprised that Thiago Silva, with not fighting in a year, takes him to decision.
Well, Thiago Silva's a tough guy to put away.
And I guess we'll kind of spin this forward now as we continue our opening round.
The opening round.
Dun, dun, dun. As we'll kind of look forward to what's next for...
Well, wouldn't you say this is going into our next segment? Is it? It's The Trouble of Being Joe Silva.
The Trouble of Being Joe Silva is our next segment.
The Trouble of Being Joe Silva. It's a play on words of The Trouble of Being Ernest.
So basically, we're going to play UFC matchmaker Joe Silva.
Yeah, Joe Silva is matchmaker extraordinaire, as the UFC likes to put it.
I think he has the best job in all of sports.
Oh, yeah. He gets to pick who fights who. And in the UFC, that's ultimately one of the best jobs in sports you could possibly imagine. And so, who would you give Brian Stann to next?
I would give Brian Stann the winner of Rusamal Palhares and Alan Belcher. They fight in a couple weeks at UFC on Fox on the undercard of the Diaz-Miller. That's on May 5th. I would give the winner of Palhares Belcher to Brian Stann. What about you? Who's Brian Stann getting?
I would give him Michael Bisping.
Interesting.
I think Michael Bisping's not scheduled to fight.
He's fighting
right
Tim Bosch.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, my gosh, I completely forgot that he's fighting. I think Brian Stann and Michael Bisping would be such a better fight than Michael Bisping and Tim Bosch.
Yeah.
I think Brian Stann could knock him out.
I think Brian Stann could knock a lot of people out. I really like Brian Stann. And I think it shows how even better Chael Sonnen was that night. He just dominated Brian Stann.
Yeah.
Brian Stann rebounded very nice. I mean,
Brian Stann has had his trouble with wrestlers in the past.
Yeah.
He got controlled by Phil Davis, even though it was at 205, where Phil Davis was obviously bigger than Brian Stann. He still got controlled on the floor, and that's how Chael Sonnen was able to just control Brian Stann at will. Was used as wrestling and then ground and pound, and then got the submission stoppage.
I was reading an article on BJPenn.com about kind of fights to make after UFC on Fuel TV 2, and the guy who wrote for them said Brian Stann versus Chris Weidman.
Ooh, that'd be interesting.
And my only thing is, I've seen in multiple places that Chris Weidman and Mark Munoz are going to fight either on UFC on Fox 4 in August or UFC 149.
Okay.
I think that's going to be the fight. So, I mean, I think the fight you got to give is Rustam Palhares, Alan Belcher, give him the winner.
That makes sense.
I think if Palhares beats Belcher, which I think Palhares will, that'll be a really interesting fight.
Yeah, I agree.
Palhares versus Stann. All right.
Now, who do you give Gustafsson?
This is hard. A lot of, I think, names being kind of floated around are ranging from Ryan Bader to Lyoto Machida to Shogun. I think one of those three guys.
Yeah, I think it's got to be a top five guy.
If you watch the UFC on Fuel card, they really are they're hyping Gustafsson up as the next John Jones.
The
next big prospect. And it's interesting. I saw something on Twitter. Are they going to risk Ryan Bader beating him? Because Ryan Bader is obviously a really good wrestler. Gustafsson's only loss coming to Phil Davis, really good wrestler. The writer on BJPenn.com said Lyoto Machida. I think that makes a lot of sense.
I agree.
I would probably say Machida.
Okay, so you give him Machida. I'd give him Shogun.
Yeah.
I say, like, winner of him, Shogun, maybe gets a shot at the title.
Yeah, I mean, I just thinking if Shogun beats him, you're going to have Jones Shogun too and Jones. But, I mean, that's you're going to run into that when you're with John Jones.
Yeah.
But you also have to remember Dan Henderson's still
in the mix
Henderson, somewhere.
Yeah, Dan Henderson's waiting in the sideline.
I think Dan Henderson gets the next light heavyweight shot.
Dan Henderson gets the next title shot that opens up regardless of weight class.
Well, he would have gotten the heavyweight then. But
yeah, I think he Well, his name was floated out.
His name was floated out there. And then, we still don't know who's going to fight for the heavyweight title.
I think if Jose Aldo is available to fight, they put Dan Henderson at 145. Yep, I think Henderson calls out Jose Aldo.
Jose Aldo does not have an opponent for UFC 149. He's the main event. I think Dan Henderson could cut 60 pounds
before
July 28th.
Dan Henderson versus 21st. Jose Aldo. The thing is, though, I don't think I could bet against Jose Aldo in that fight.
We would be terrible, Joe Silvas, if we threw out Dan Henderson versus Jose Aldo. We're like, hey, Dana.
How about Henderson versus the Aldo guy?
That Aldo guy that keeps killing
people? Yeah, that Aldo guy. I think he's not that good. I think what Henderson takes him.
What accent are you doing for Joe Silva right now?
No, that's idiot Joe Silva accent. Not actual Joe Silva. That's like...
We respect Joe Silva a lot on this.
That's like alternate universe Joe Silva where he's not smart. Anyways, so those are the fights to make. You can either each guy, I think, deserves some top-tier fighters.
I was impressed with Brian Stann, even though he's facing kind of a lesser competition. Guy did out, took care of business, you know, came out, took care of business, performed really well. And I would like to see him get a top-five guy.
Yeah, me too. All right, what's next for these listeners?
It's going to be UFC 145, right? That's going to be
that's
going to dominate most of the show, correct?
Well, yeah, let's just go ahead and jump right into 145, the main event. UFC 145, probably one of the biggest pay-per-views of the year. Not overall top to bottom. It doesn't have a lot of names on it.
Although we were doing some show prep earlier, and I'm starting to come around on this card a little bit.
Yeah, you were not.
I bashed this card really. I did bash this card. I'm starting to like it.
Unwarranted.
Yeah, I apologize to
me.
Well, you. I apologize to that microphone.
You apologize to the UFC
for what you've done to it.
I didn't do shit to it.
Can you stop swearing?
I'm sorry, but
my goodness.
This mic is
just
complete. We
are a family-friendly podcast, even though we're the devil's cage, which could be some scary to some little kids. But
it literally just okay. See, it's down. It's pointed down where it should be towards where I'm speaking, and then I let go, and it just goes right back up.
Think of people listening to this. How difficult they're going to have.
Oh, they're going to be so pissed.
They're going to be so confused.
Can you guys talk about 145 and stop talking about the damn microphone?
All right. So, do you want to break down? We have some clips from Primetime lined up.
Yeah, we do. Let's wait till we get to the main event for that, though.
Okay.
We're gonna start the first fight on the main card.
Okay.
Which is Mark Bocek versus John Alessio, the natural Alessio. Ryan, who do you got in this fight? Where do you see this fight going?
You know, it's interesting. John Alessio is making his UFC debut. He his last loss came to your boy Sire Buhadur Hazar.
Nailed it.
And that was a couple years, about a year ago. So, you know, Mark Belichick's got a pretty impressive resume. He defeated Nick Lentz in his last fight.
His last two losses were to Ben Henderson and Jim Miller. And probably, then before that, Matt Denzie and Frankie Edgar. He's been in the UFC since 2007.
I've always held the belief that I don't like guys making their UFC debut.
Yeah, that seemed to work out for you on the last one, right?
Yeah, exactly. So actually, I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going to go John Alessio. I think Alessio wins. And let's see. I'm going to say he wins by unanimous decision.
All right. Well, I will counter you, and I'm taking Bocek.
Why?
Because he's Canadian. Well, so is Alessio.
They're both Canadian.
I think Bocek has an impressive resume. I think Bocek is a... He's a pretty dominant fighter in his weight class for the most part. He hasn't really – Ben Henderson didn't put him away. Jim Miller, I don't think, finished him, right? Jim Miller didn't finish him, did he?
Let me look that up for you.
No, he didn't. Jim Miller didn't finish him. It was a unanimous decision. So,
the last
– He submitted Dustin Haslett, which was is an impressive win in my book. I'm going to take Mark Bocek by – I'll take Bocek by decision as well.
Okay.
Neither guy really possesses. If Bocek does finish it, it's going to be a submission.
Yeah, Bocek's actually all of his finishes have come via submission. He hasn't knocked anybody out in the UFC.
He's a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, so yeah. I can see him getting the submission. But yeah, I think Bocek wins it by unanimous decision, and spoils the debut of Alessio. The next fight is Mark Hominick coming off a stunning loss to the Korean Zombie versus Eddie Yagan, the Filipino phenom.
I felt bad for Mark Hominick.
Oh my gosh, it was heartbreaking.
Watching his fight at UFC 140, he came out to Coming Home by Diddy. He's fighting in his home country. He's excited. The crowd's behind him.
He came out. It's his second fight in a row against in Canada, right? Because he fought Jose Aldo, put up a lot of heart. A lot of people were impressed with his performance by Jose Aldo. Because some people thought Jose Aldo was just going to storm through him. And he ended up taking all five rounds. And then he's fighting in Toronto again. Comes out to Coming Home. You're like, all right, man, he's got to pick it up.
How long did the fight last?
7 seconds.
And Korean Zombie.
He misses a left, and the Korean Zombie, Chan Sung Jung, just belts him with one shot, and he's out. And it was – I literally had no words. I was speechless. Everybody in the bar was speechless too. Everybody was just – didn't know what to think because it was just so quick. So he's looking to rebound against Eddie Yagan,
who is 0-1 in the UFC.
Yeah, and yes, he is. He lost to Junior. How do you pronounce that name?
Hang on.
He's a Brazilian fighter. Lost by decision. Junior.
There's so many accent marks in this. Asuncio.
Sure, Asuncio.
God, we are terrible pronouncing.
Yeah, we are awful at names. Lost at UFC 135, so they're both looking to come back off loss. Who do you got in this?
I have Hominick by... Hominick's very well-rounded. He knocked out George Ruby, submitted Brian Caraway, and then he has a split-decision victory against Leonard Garcia. Knocked out Yves Habon, or Haboin?
Sure.
Okay. I want to pick Hominick by a knockout.
I'm picking Hominick as well, but I'm picking him by decision. So that's a consensus right there.
Fair enough.
Both have Hominick. Next fight, Miguel Torres versus your boy, Michael McDonald.
Michael McDonald. I think he's going to be the next bantamweight champion.
Michael, you are very high.
He's won 7 fights in a row, 4 of them by knockout. He's 21 years old. 21 years old.
Yeah, absolute
phenom. Man can barely go out and have a drink after winning a fight. He can barely do that. 7-0. He's 3-0 in the UFC. He's got a unanimous decision victory over Edwin Figueroa. It's a split decision victory over Chris Caraccio. And that was 2 months later. He fought in March 26, 2011, and then he fought on May 28, 2011. And then he knocked out Alex Soto in the knockout of the night at UFC 139. And that was the knockout of the night of when Faber fought, the night of Henderson Shogun, Bader Brills. He got the knockout of the night over Alex Soto with under a minute, knocked out Alex Soto in 56 seconds. And he's facing Miguel Torres, who is back in the UFC after being fired for some things he said on Twitter. He's back in the UFC now. And Miguel Torres is 3-2 in his last 5 fights. He's got a win over Nick Pace by decision at UFC 139.
Miguel Torres, at one point, people thought he was unbeatable at 135. In the WEC, he was the man at 135 until Brian Bowes knocked him out in the first round.
He won the WEC Bantamweight Championship in February of 2008, and he held it through August of 2009.
Yeah, held it defended for his title. A long time.
He defended his title 3 times.
You can look at his only 3 losses, or he's lost 4 times. 3 of those losses come to Brian Bowes, Joseph Benavidez, who a lot of people think is the number one flyweight in the world, and Demetrius Johnson, who arguably is also the number one flyweight in the world. Mm-hmm. So it's a very impressive resume of who he's lost to.
I mean, he's got 40 career wins, too.
Yeah.
Very veteran of a ton of fights.
And then he says that he's 53-4 because he fought before they kept track of it. I don't know what that means, but whatever, Torres.
Yeah, I was fighting before fire was born.
So I'm supposing you got Michael McDonald by knockout. That's my guess.
I got McDonald by knockout.
All right, I'm going to pick...
You want to pick McDonald, but you don't want to go with me. I know it.
Exactly.
I know
it. I don't think you're smart at all. Yeah, I'm going to have to go Michael McDonald.
Bye.
Knockout. Yeah, Michael McDonald by knockout. I agree with you. I can't just disagree with you just so I can pick different people. I think Michael McDonald gets the knockout here.
All right, fight number 4, Brendan Schaub versus Ben Rothwell. Brendan Schaub was on a 4-fight winning streak since losing to her. He lost to Roy Nelson at the Ultimate Fighter finale in December of 2009. He then went on to win 4 straight fights, including a unanimous decision victory over Gabriel Gonzaga and a knockout of Mirko Krokop. And then, kind of surprising, he was favored his fight against Minotaur Noguera.
Yeah, I picked him against Minotaur
Noguera. Yeah, I think a lot of people did. A lot of people were shocked when he got knocked out in the first round by Minotaur at UFC 134 back in August of 2011. And kind of derailed him a little bit. I think he's
still fighting a relative top name in the heavyweight division. But
he was definitely an up-and-comer.
Yeah,
a lot
of people thought he was going to be the next person to challenge at the time, Velasquez.
Yeah, he was a pretty nice heavyweight prospect there. He gets knocked out by Minotaur Noguera. He's fighting Ben Rothwell, who most recently lost to Mark Hunt at UFC 135. And he's also got a loss to Cain Velasquez at UFC 115.
Yeah.
Seems like Ben Rothwell really very inactive. He's fought 4 times since 2008.
So who do you got? Let me pick first. I have Brendan Schaub.
Oh, really?
Okay. I have Brendan Schaub winning by decision.
I've got Brendan Schaub winning by knockout.
Okay. So we have the same picks on 2 out of 3 so far. Yep. Okay, anyways, so Brendan the Hybrid Schaub, we both have him beating Rothwell. I don't think Rothwell has appeared impressive at all in his UFC career, so I definitely think Schaub should be the favorite. I mean, who knows with the heavyweight fights.
One punch and just ends it.
It could be.
Either guy.
Yeah, so it's hard to predict heavyweight fights. You never know. The next fight, Rory McDonald versus Che Mills, is going to be, I think, a very impressive fight. I think it's going to be an awesome fight. Potentially my pick for fight of the night. I think both fighters are very impressive. Che Mills just beat Chris Cope, knocked him out in the first round, just absolutely dominated the guy. And he has looked impressive so far in his career. And also Rory McDonald, people pegging him as the next. How old is this kid?
Rory McDonald is 22 years of age.
But he's been fighting in the UFC since he was, what, 19?
He's been fighting in the UFC since January of 2010. So it will be, I'm not good at math at all, I think 21.
Okay, I know.
Or 20, like
yeah,
something 20, like that.
Yeah, ridiculous.
I think at one point he was the youngest fighter on the roster,
yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
Very young kid, Rory McDonald. What's different with Rory McDonald is that he doesn't come in with a base in wrestling, jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai. He comes in with a base of everything. His base is mixed martial arts. That's what makes him the next generation of fighters. A lot of people, even GSP, says he's the next GSP. He's gonna rule the welterweight division.
People say that him and guys like Michael McDonald are the first batch of fighters that have been training UFC their whole life. Guys that are in that, like,
since like 14, 15,
yeah,
have been training.
Guys that are in that
arts,
like 18 to 23 range, that have been training for mixed martial arts, instead of guys that, you know, see mixed martial arts when they're 18 and be like, I want to do that. Yeah. These guys have been training since they were young, since they were teenagers. And Rory McDonald's he's 3-1 in the UFC. He's got wins over Mike Guyman, excuse me. He's submitted him. He's got a unanimous decision win over Nate Diaz, and he's got a TKO over Mike Pyle. And now he's fighting Che Mills. His only loss is to Carlos Condit at UFC 115. He got knocked out by Carlos Condit in the third round with 7 seconds left.
Yeah.
It was the 4:53 mark in the second round. Or the third round, excuse me.
Yeah, so, I mean, both of these guys are very impressive fighters. I'm picking Rory McDonald in here. I think Rory McDonald will be the welterweight champion before too long. I think within 2 years, he will be the welterweight champion.
Everything in my head's telling me to go with Rory McDonald. How often do I listen to my head? Not that much. I'm going with the upset.
You're going Che Mills.
Going Che Mills by knockout.
Based on?
He knocked out Chris Cope, and that's pretty good, right?
Yeah, because Chris Cope had such an impressive.
I told you. Listen, my mind telling me to go Rory McDonald. I just think I think he's going to catch Rory McDonald, and I think Che Mills is going to get the W and
all
upset
right.
Rory McDonald.
Picking Che Mills. Wow. Bold predictions here on the Devil's Cage.
You heard it first here on the Devil's Cage.
Ryan Bafalukas picking Che Mills, not me. Blaine Ferguson is picking Rory McDonald in this fight.
Ryan Gus Bafalukas is picking Che Mills.
This leads us to the next fight, the main event of the night, the fight that everybody is waiting for.
By the way, UFC fans are in for a treat. It's a six-fight main card this time. Usually the UFC pay-per-views are five fights, but Miguel Torres and Michael McDonald was moved from the preliminary card on FX to the main card on pay-per-view. Some highlights from the preliminary card on FX: Travis Brown versus Chad Griggs in a heavyweight fight. Well, a welterweight bout between Mike Brown and your boy, Stephen Thompson.
Yeah, let's do this. Before we talk about the main event, give me your fighter to watch. That's not on the main event. Your fighter to watch for the night. So people,
it can be anybody except for Jones and Rashad, correct?
Yeah, okay. So anybody who's not in the main event. So a person that you feel that people need to look out for and that people need to pay attention to this guy.
I'll go Michael McDonald, because I think if Michael McDonald beats Miguel Torres, he's one fight away from a title shot.
Yeah.
So I'll go Michael McDonald, because okay. I think he's the one that can and will beat Cruz.
Yeah. I'm going Stephen Thompson.
Your boy, the kickboxer, Stephen Thompson.
Stephen Thompson, for listeners who don't know, comes in with a 63-0 kickboxing record. 63-0. He was supposed to come into the UFC.
Can you say his record again in case I didn't get it?
You're hilarious. Anyways.
He's also 6-0 in the mixed martial arts as well.
Yes. He comes in his last fight with a head kick knockout that just looked amazing. It just looked effortless almost. And afterwards, after he gets the knockout, he does some type of like spinning flip thing in the middle of the octagon. Have you seen that?
No, but
you haven't seen that. Oh my
based
gosh,
on your
awesome.
Description, I can picture a spinning kick thing.
A spinning flip thing, and it looks like something out of Dragon Ball Z. And I think he's gonna be one of the next superstars in the UFC. I think you need to watch out for Stephen Thompson in the UFC for years to come.
Also, one fighter to watch out: Efrain Escudero is fighting Mark Danzik. He's the opening.
He trains with Ben Henderson. Yeah, he trains in the lab in Glendale.
Trains at the lab here in Arizona with Ben Henderson. He's fighting Mark Danzik. That's the opening bout on the FX prelim.
So
card.
We're here at the Devil's Cage wishing our Valley guy good luck in his fight.
Gotta support
Efrain,
the Valley guys.
Efrain, if you're listening to this, good luck in your fight, man. We're rooting for you. We want you to bring home a win down to the Valley.
Keep fighting.
Now let's talk about Jones versus Evans.
Who? Who is? I don't know the main event of this.
Oh, yeah. Let me talk to you. Sugar Rashad Evans. Is taking on John Bones Jones. Ryan, yes, your question.
I have a question. I was raising my hand. I have a question. Didn't Rashad Evans and John Jones used to train together?
Yeah, you got another question?
Didn't they say that they would never fight each other?
I think that's what happened. I think both of them came out and said they would never fight each other. And then that changed when Jones, in an interview with Ariel Helwani, said that he would fight Rashad Evans.
Rashad did not take to that pretty
No,
pretty
they did
well.
Not. And so Friday was episode 2. Of UFC Primetime, and it was an awesome episode. UFC Primetime never disappoints. The ending sequence where they're both, it's a montage of them training, literally gave me goosebumps.
And they're playing the music over it, and it's just them training, and oh, it was great.
Okay, so we have two clips set up to go. Ryan, can you preview the first clip for us? Can you give listeners a little preview of it? Again, all credit goes to Zuffa.
I forgot what the first clip is.
It's Rashad.
It's Rashad
talking about his way back. Oh my gosh! You sit down and shut up. I am going to preview this. It's for listeners who don't know this. By the way, Ryan was the one who found this clip and asked me to play it. Doesn't even know what it is anymore.
I apologize.
You are awful at remembering stuff. The last week you couldn't even find out a fighter's name, and then you're like, oh wait, I got it. I was like, who is it? You're like, I don't got it.
Let's live in the present and look forward to the future, not the past.
Anyways.
Play the clip. It's Evans talking about his 14th month layoff. Get him back.
Oh, now you know what it is. Here you go. Listeners, I will cue that clip up for you right now.
Heavyweight title. Rashad Evans injured his knee. John Jones took the bout in his place and claimed the belt. Rashad's quest to regain the title was reset.
When I didn't fight for 14 months, I felt so, like, bottled up. because that's how I would express myself. And at the time, like when I was going through it, man, I was so depressed, man. I remember sitting there after I hurt my knee and everything, and you know, my life, my personal life was going out of control too and stuff. I remember sitting there just thinking like, you know what, man, it sucks, you know? And it was just like one of those moments in life where you're just like, all right, what am I made of as a person, as a man? You never know yourself until the chips are down. True strength is not measured when you're at your strongest, but when you're at your weakest.
And that's what I think kind of gives Rashad a little bit of an edge over Jones, is because Rashad just seems so much hungrier.
Yeah.
I mean, from what I've seen in the prime times and in the build-up to this fight, Rashad Evans just looks focused. He looks like he has a set goal, and he looks like he's going to do anything to achieve it.
Yeah, I definitely think Rashad just – in my heart, I feel like Rashad just wants it more. John Jones, I'm not taking anything away from his drive, his dedication. Obviously, has dedicated his life to the world of mixed martial arts and has dedicated very effectively as well. And has a lot of drive and determination in him. I'm not taking that away from him. I just think Evans in this fight is a different animal. I think if there's one person, if I were Jones, if there was one person I would not want to fight right now, it's Rashad Evans.
It's hard to think if I can remember of anybody that wanted to win a fight as bad as Rashad wants to beat Jones.
Yeah.
Rashad has said, I believe he said it in primetime, that winning the title is secondary. He wants to beat Jones.
Yeah.
It's not even about the title. It's about beating John Jones, about beating Greg Jackson in that camp. And there's so much animosity between these two. It's made for a dynamite promotion. For our listeners, Fight Week is starting up this week. You're going to have a press conference. You're going to have media day where the fighters will work out in front of the media. You're going to have a dynamite weigh-in. Can you imagine that weigh-in next Friday?
It's going to be
great.
Going to be must-watch TV. I do believe it's going to be on Fuel, isn't it?
Yes, it should be on Fuel TV. I'm not sure the time. It'll be on the UFC page. Several of the
UFC will stream it.
Several of the MMA websites, I believe MMA Fighting, MMA Junkie, all have it. So definitely, if you want to watch the build up to this fight, which how could you not? You're going to be able to. And also, the third episode of UFC Primetime
will
next
premiere
Friday.
On Friday, the last episode before the fight, it'll premiere on Friday night. And definitely need to check that out. Primetime is absolute can't miss TV.
I think it's also a big plus for Rashad that he's lost. I think Jones not losing.
Well, he does have a loss on his record, but it was disqualification to Matt Hamill, which John Jones was absolutely destroying him.
Basically, he was using his elbows. He was on top. He was throwing elbows.
12 to 6 elbows.
It was 12 to 6 elbows, basically where your elbows are straight vertical going down on the person, and that you cannot do that.
To a grounded opponent in the
UFC.
Yes,
to a grounded opponent, you can't do it. So that's his only loss. So essentially, John Jones is undefeated. He's never felt defeat.
He's never even felt close. He's gotten punched one time by Lyoto Machida. Lyoto Machida tagged him once and then got put to sleep.
You just wonder what's Jones going to react to? What's he going to be like if he's hurt? Evans tags him, if Evans takes
Which
him down.
Which he can with that. Evans has a massive right hand. And also, Evans, I think, is the best wrestler in the UFC. I think Evans is the most controlling wrestler in the UFC. And so it'd be interesting to see what happens when Evans gets him down to the ground. And if he does even get him down to the ground.
I want to MMA Weekly put out a great piece. It's UFC 145, Numbers Never Lie. I just want to read some of the highlights from that. Again, this is from www.mmaweekly.com. John Jones, this is just some numbers. John Jones has the best takedown accuracy in the division's history. He scored 21 takedowns, the fourth most in the light heavyweight division history. He has a 3.32 takedowns per 15-minute average. It's the fourth highest in the division. He also has 100% takedown defense. John Jones has never been taken down,
nope,
according to this article. He's faced wrestlers Ryan Bader, Jake O'Brien.
He's fought in Rampage Jackson.
Lyoto
Machida has great judo takedowns and trips.
He outlands opponents by 2.4 strikes per minute. Rashad Evans has taken down every opponent he's tried to get to the ground.
Every single opponent.
He averages 4.32 takedowns per 15 minutes of fighting.
Speaking of which, and for listeners who don't know, Rashad Evans won the Ultimate Fighter in the heavyweight division.
Mm-hmm. He was also an All-American wrestler at Michigan State.
So take that into account. Rashad Evans at heavyweight he's was able to dominate people.
He's also 5'11".
Yeah.
And he won heavyweight.
It's amazing. 5'11". Amazing.
Rashad Evans has the most takedowns in the light heavyweight division history. 48 career takedowns, has more than any other light heavyweight has ever earned. He's got the third best striking defense in the light heavyweight history. So it's really, these two guys are some of the most dominant light heavyweights ever. I mean, yep. John Jones already at 24, I believe John Jones is one of, you can make the case he's one of the top two or three
fighters in the world.
Yeah, but even the best fighters ever in the light heavyweight division.
Yep.
Or, you know. I mean, you can make the case maybe, you know, Chuck, Tito, in terms of just lasting legacy and how long they held their titles
Randy
for.
Randy Couture.
Yeah. But John Jones is quickly getting that. He's quickly on the way to superstardom.
Yeah, I agree. And so we have a second clip from Prime Time.
We have a second clip. And actually, we got
Do you actually know what this one is?
Yeah, no. We got a pretty good segue into it, talking about superstars. This is Rashad Evans talking about the spotlight, talking about how, well, I'll just let the clip play. But it's about the spotlight.
Nobody owns a spotlight. It's just you stand there and then the spotlight moves. And then it moves and then it moves and then it moves. It's 50-50. I want to win and he wants to win. He's praying to God, I'm praying to God. This is serious for me. I'm gonna go in there and fight somebody. I never want to lose again. And I'll fight to my last breath to make sure that don't happen. I want to make him look at life a little differently. You know what I'm saying? I want to change his life.
Okay, first of all, I want to get off a little side note. I don't like Rashad Evans without any facial hair.
You don't?
I think he shaved for the prime time, and I don't like him without facial hair. I like him with facial hair. Maybe, okay. I just wanted to get that out there.
Is that your little crush on Rashad Evans?
Nope, it's just an observation. It's not a crush. It's an observation. Don't call it a comeback.
It sounds like a crush.
Don't call it a comeback.
You're not even making sense. That phrase doesn't even make sense.
No
right
one
now.
Knows
you
what
can't
it
just,
means.
You can't just, oh my gosh.
It's
stop
provocative.
Stop using phrases.
It's provocative.
Shut it. Stop using phrases that do not make sense in context.
Anyway, can we
just because they're in your head?
Can we talk about what he just said? I think he's
for 10 seconds. I'm going to tell you, quit using phrases that do not make sense in the context that you put them in. Quit it.
You're being childish.
Quit it.
You're being childish right now.
No, I am not. I'm trying to tell you to quit using phrases that do not make sense when you place them. Do you understand?
I understand.
No?
10 seconds are
yes
over.
Yes or no?
I understand.
Okay, thank you. Anyways, continue.
I know I was going to say. No, I'm kidding. So I think he's absolutely right about the spotlight. I don't think.
Yeah,
I think fighters have been in the spotlight. I mean, Brock Lesnar was in the spotlight. Now he's not. Chuck Liddell held the spotlight. Now he's not.
You can say there's only been one fighter that continuously has been in the spotlight, and that's Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
GSP, he's lost too. Matt Serra knocked him out.
Yeah, and you can make the case that even GSP's been out of spotlight because he hasn't fought in over a year.
Has it been a year?
I believe his last defense was against Jake Shields, right? He was supposed to face Diaz in October of 2011.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was.
And he had to back out.
Yeah, it was.
Or he didn't back out. He had to pull out because of an injury.
Yeah.
So I think he's absolutely right.
Yeah, he's kind of out of the spotlight now.
You see the hunger of Rashad Evans there. He wants to change John Jones's life. Have you ever heard a UFC fighter talk like this before?
No, I haven't.
It's almost like it's not even about a fight anymore.
No, it's about...
It's so much bigger than a fight now.
Yeah.
It's absolutely incredible how Rashad Evans is talking. And, I mean, John Jones is doing his best to kind of brush this off and say, well, you know, if this is about me, not the belt, you know, that's the wrong attitude to go in there. I want Rashad to go in there and fight me angry. That's what I want. But you just got to think that Rashad Evans is just taking this so amazingly serious, and he's ready. He's ready to get in there.
I think... Okay, so before we make our picks... Well, we'll have one little final take. I think John Jones is clearly the favorite in this fight. Not by a huge margin, but clearly the favorite. I would not be surprised if John Jones won decisively, but I would also not be surprised if Rashad Evans won decisively. John Jones, one thing that just bugs me is that he does have a very incredible story, has come from a lot in his life, and I respect him as a man.
Yeah.
I respect him as a fighter.
He's faced adversity in his life. Of course he has.
One thing that just bugs me is that he doesn't admit to the trash talking he does. Rashad Evans says, yes, I am cocky. Yes, I trash talk. yes, I do this. John Jones will say, no, I'm going to let my fighting do the talking. But then we'll continuously, for a 30-minute episode, talk trash about Rashad. It just seems like it's a fake.
There was
it's a cover.
He wrote a guest piece for FoxSports.com, and I saw it. And he basically kind of talks about Rashad and tries to, you know, downplay things and tries to say, I'm not cocky. You know, he's saying all these lies about this and that. And he starts talking in the third person. He starts saying John Bones Jones in the article, and it was kind of funny.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. A lot of fighters were giving him crap because he started using his name in the third person, which I think is the telltale sign of a little bit of cockiness.
He's trying to seem...
If you start talking about yourself in the third person, you may be a little cocky. Anyways,
Ryan Bafalukas is going to... I'm kidding.
Ryan Bafalukas will now
can
make his pick.
Well, can we try to... I just want to kind of, you know, break down some things to look for in this fight real
okay.
quick. I want to look at... Rashad, I think the reach advantage. Rashad Evans is a small, in terms of height, light heavyweight. He's 5'11". He's got a 75-inch reach. I believe John Jones is 84.
84 and a half.
80, yeah. So he's got a – Jones has about a 10-inch reach
advantage.
The
longest reach in the UFC history.
So Rashad Evans, if he's going to want to land one of those huge right hands that killed Chuck Liddell, you know, figuratively.
That literally killed Chuck Liddell.
Which, by the way, that fight was in Atlanta, which is where this fight is. So.
Oh, wow.
Boom.
That's an interesting little tidbit of trivia. The last time that Rashad fought here, he ended Chuck Liddell's career.
So Rashad Evans is going to have to work his way inside. And he's going to have to do that very carefully because John Jones is a really diverse and really good striker. Just elbows. He kicks and knees. John Jones is very good in the clinch. And, you know, I think Rashad Evans has the advantage on the ground. So
yeah,
I definitely think
I think when it comes to grappling, I give the advantage to Rashad.
I think there's two ways Rashad could win this fight. The one is if he just lands us a shot. Just a
Which is
a
the case
punch,
for every UFC fighter.
Yeah, of course. You know, one punch knocks Jones down and then Rashad finishes him. I think the other part is he's got to try to get this fight to the ground and do some damage on the ground.
Yep.
I don't want to say he just wants to lay on him for five rounds because I don't want to see that in any fight. But I think Rashad needs to take the fight to the ground and just damage.
Work ground and pound.
You know, try to do what Chael Sonnen did to Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
Get him to the ground, make Jones feel uncomfortable.
Punch a hole in his face.
Because no one's taken Jones, or not a lot of people can take Jones down.
Nobody has ever taken Jones down.
Yeah, you're right. I said that 10 minutes ago. I forgot. Jones has never been taken down. So we've never seen Jones on his back uncomfortable before. You got to put Jones – it's about making the other person fight out of their comfort zone.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think, obviously, whichever fighter does that is going to win. Jones – I mean, Rashad is not bad on his feet. Jones is great on his feet. So it's going to be interesting to see who gets the better of the stand-up battles. I think Rashad's got to use his kicks – because Jones has a distinct advantage on the outside. But all right, we'll get my pick. This is really, really hard for me. I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going to pick Rashad Evans to beat John Jones. I think the combination, I think Rashad knows John Jones's style better than any fighter. I think Rashad training with Jones is an advantage. Even though Jones downplays it, I think it's an advantage that Rashad will know a little bit of Jones's style. And I think Rashad wants this more than anything in the world. And I think Rashad is training like it. And I think Rashad is going to beat John Jones. And I'm going to say by TKO in the third round.
Wow. Not only are you picking Rashad to win, you're picking him to put him away. You know what? In my heart, I feel like Rashad is going to win it. I just feel like Rashad wants it more. But... I really want to win this pick'em challenge that we're having.
Are you serious?
I really want to win. I'm up 3-0 on you right now. It's a 2-1. And so this will be our third fight that we differ in this pick. In this fight. Or in this fight card.
In this card.
Yeah. And so I'm picking John Jones. I want Rashad to win. I'm rooting for him. But I think John Jones takes us. I just don't see... John Jones is a physical specimen of a man, and I think he wins by. I don't think he puts him away. I think Rashad takes him to decision, so I think John Jones wins by unanimous decision.
All right.
Well, that's it. I think that's going to do it for us tonight.
Real quick, just want to do a shout-out to Bellator. They're having Bellator 66, Eddie Alvarez, Shinya Aoki on Friday.
Oh, wow.
That card's been completely overlooked, but we just don't have time to get to it. It's a huge fight. It's probably Bellator's biggest fight of the year, maybe the biggest fight in Bellator history.
Speaking of which, because Hector Lombard's possibly a free agent in a couple weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're going to keep on the lookout for where Hector Lombard's going to land. He could be in the UFC by the end of the year, so be interesting to look out for that. UFC 145 this Saturday, Primetime on Friday, Bellator on Friday, Ultimate Fighter Live on Friday. What else we got? That's it, right?
Just a great weekend to be a fight fan. So basically, the pay-per-view kicks off at 10 o'clock in the East, 7 o'clock in the West. I believe the FX prelims will start at 5 o'clock in the West, 8 o'clock in the East. Two fights on Facebook, so... Really, really good night for mixed martial arts fans on Saturday.
Yeah, so I think that's gonna do it for here at the Devil's Cage. Should I say it?
Say it.
Keep fighting.